Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John on the other side of the glass. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, December 6, 2021. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The call letters KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. And we have all of our programs, all of them, when I say maybe 95 to 98% of the shows we have done since we began the program in January of 2011. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, our Monday political face-off, our title sponsor for the face-off. So happy to have Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing with us. It's an outstanding family-run business. They've been around since 1985, and they specialize not only in making sure all of your art is framed in a beautiful, I think, museum-quality way. They also have custom-frame mirrors. We've got a couple in our home. Just beautiful things that Mo and the team, they'll come out, they hang everything for you, take care of all of your needs in that regard. And, of course, they're doing e-commerce. I've got a couple of items that I have owned, some maps and prints that are there on the website. Take a look. The website is moesgallery.com. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge. With me in studio today, seated to my left, Jeff Rogers is here, well-known Tucson attorney, former chairman of the Pima County Democratic Party. To my right, John Munger, also a well-known attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for governor in Arizona in 2010, former chair of the Republican Party in Arizona. And Jeff and John, how was your weekend? It's hard to believe we're less than 3 weeks away from Christmas.
That's hard to believe. Yeah, it's been a fast year, you know, awfully eventful year. It was a beautiful weekend to be outdoors and, you know, hung out with my horses some and, you know, tried to get a few things done around the house, but it was all in all a pretty nice weekend.
And John, are you getting in the Christmas spirit?
Oh, I'm in the Christmas spirit.
Now,
already.
You were telling me before we went on the air, you do something, you do a homemade fudge?
I make fudge.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Mm.
I give it to my family.
Mm-hmm.
And we all enjoy doing it together. It's kind of a tradition.
Is it chocolate fudge? Or
it's just pure fudge. No nuts, no nothing, just fudge.
Well, my wrist is killing me today because unlike many people, John and Jeff, I'm old school. I do Christmas cards. And to show you how that tradition has just gone by the wayside, 30 years ago when we first moved here, actually moved here over 33 years ago, I would fill up a whole tray full of Christmas cards, right? Everybody sent Christmas cards. Guess what? Guess how many I have had so far this season?
How many?
Three.
Yeah.
So,
well,
John, I'm expecting yours. There better be.
We're not sending them out this
year.
You're
not. Well, there you go. You are changing your tradition because this will be the first year that you've said no.
Yeah. Well, we didn't last year either.
Oh, you didn't? No.
It's just a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Well, what I do is I have about 18 friends and family members, and I send them an Arizona Highways calendar.
Good idea.
It's like a big Christmas card.
Yeah.
Something they can think about every.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's
every time they look at the calendar.
I want to devote the first segment today on the Monday political face-off to Bob Dole. This guy. He was a leading figure in the Republican Party for nearly a half century, one-time presidential candidate. But, John, he was a master legislator.
Well, he was a master legislator, but let's not forget his World War II service.
Yeah.
As an officer, I think he was a captain.
He was a lieutenant.
Leading the troops. He was injured in Germany, I believe.
No, it was Italy.
Was it Italy?
Near Bologna.
And he actually was injured trying to save the life of one of his troops. He went in after one of his troops that had been injured and tried to carry him out and was hurt in the arm somehow and lost use of his right arm, I believe, or left arm, one or the other.
And he was in the hospital, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. 39 months in the hospital.
39 but he was, months.
He was a hero.
Uh-huh.
Part of the greatest generation, and I think they were the greatest generation. Those people really had grit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he became a master legislator. He was just a leader in the Senate for very difficult times for the Republican Party, because during the 50s, 60s, 70s, and into Ronald Reagan's period, we were just never in control of the Congress. And he was doing a great job. He
worked across the aisle.
A lot of people he worked across the aisle. A lot of people considered him a rhino, you know, what we would call today
a rhino.
You know, Republican in name only, but big supporter of Donald Trump. He was a great man, and he had a political compass. He knew what he wanted to do. He knew, on the other hand, what was possible, given the fact that he was so often in the minority. But he was a great man.
Jeff, could have someone like a Bob Dole work across the aisle anymore?
Boy, you know, I think they'd have trouble getting elected right now and making it through a Republican primary. Now he could probably win if he made it through a Republican primary, someone like him. But you know, he was also well known for his acerbic wit. I'll never forget, after he lost to Bill Clinton in '96, someone asked him if he was upset, and he said, "Oh, I slept like a baby. Woke up every 2 hours crying." And I mean, he was well known for that acerbic wit, and he did do a lot of things across the aisle. I mean, he worked hard for the Americans with Disabilities Act. Were it not for Bob Dole, we wouldn't have a World War II memorial in Washington, D.C. And he was a guy who, you know, understood that, you know, sometimes you gotta go against your own party once in a while. And after Reagan's tax cuts broke the back of the budget, he came back a couple of years later and led movement to basically raise corporate and individual tax rates, because he realized that the deficit was a real soaring problem, and that those tax cuts were probably a mistake, at least in the amount that they were. And so he got a lot of heat for that. I think Newt Gingrich called him the welfare state's bag man or something along those lines. But you know, he stood by those kinds of decisions. And when there were crises that needed to be solved, that needed bipartisan support, Bob Dole was there to do it.
Has that Republican Party moved away from the fiscal conservative theme that Dole always, that was one of his big deals?
No, we haven't moved away from it at all. We did in the 90s and early 2000s, regretfully. But what Dole was trying to do, I love the way these Democrats spin things. You know, Reagan had the tax cuts, the economy began to boom, but the Democrats just kept spending in Congress. The spending outpaced the savings of the tax cuts. And
but Jeff says, at what cost, don't you?
Well, if you cut taxes and the economy booms, you get more money in. And the problem is, even though we got more money in to the Treasury, the Democrats just kept outspending the additional money we were getting in. So Bob Dole realized we got to try to balance the budget because the Democrats wouldn't stop spending.
Well, it wasn't just Bob Dole. It was also Ronald Reagan. He signed those tax increases.
He did, because he believed that, as did Bob Dole, that given the spending that the Democrats were doing, that we had to... and remember, we were in the Cold War with Russia. We had a huge military budget, and so it had to be done. But, or at least that was their view. You could argue it both ways. But the Reagan tax cuts resulted in more revenues in the Treasury, not less revenues. The problem was the Democrats just outspent the additional revenues.
Well, they couldn't have outspent anything without the signature of Ronald Reagan on those bills. Reagan was president at the time, and so therefore, in any blame you want to put on the Democrats' backs for deficit spending can equally apply to Ronald Reagan.
Well, the problem is that if you can't get your agenda passed without the Democrats throwing in this additional spending. It's like what we've got now. We had trouble getting the infrastructure bill passed. The Democrats padded that infrastructure bill. Only about 23% of the infrastructure bill that we just passed is really for infrastructure.
You said on the show a couple of weeks ago, it's just full of goodies.
Oh, it's full of all kinds of goodies. You can't get the bills passed because without all of these additional goodies, because the Dems won't vote for it without the goodies.
19 Republican senators voted for that bipartisan spending bill. So I think that's about as good of a bipartisan product that you're going to see in this day.
And again, that's because they wanted to get the infrastructure, but they couldn't get the infrastructure passed without the additional goodies that the Democrats threw in. It wasn't going to happen because the Democrats control both houses.
Hey, that word goodies works real well for my next thought about Mona's Danish Bakery.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, boy. We were up there yesterday visiting with Steve. He was just so delighted, and he said, Bill, please convey to everybody that Mona's had their best Thanksgiving ever. He did it. They set a new record on the number of pies.
300 pies, you
said? No, wait till you hear this figure. The final number is 650 pies.
Wow,
that's a lot of pie.
That's a lot of pie, and pumpkin was the number one pie. They did a tremendous amount of pumpkin pies.
Good.
But the team is just already now cranked up for Christmas. And so now for Christmas, we're talking a lot about the Danish Kringle, the Danish coffee cake. I brought a Danish coffee cake in here to the station Friday, Jeff and John. It was gone.
People
must have just inhaled that thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was just gone in a few seconds.
Yeah.
But anyway, Steve is just so delighted. Mona's Danish Bakery, their website is monasdanishbakery.com. They're open Tuesday through Sunday, open for breakfast at 6:30. And they're open for lunch, of course, but you can do breakfast pretty much any time of the day. We'll pause right here with the Monday Political Face-Off. Jeff and John will be right back. Our Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. Our Monday political face-off, John Munger and Jeff Rogers. The face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge next to Copenhagen. The website is open 24/7. You can check it out, and I hope you do, moesgallery.com. John, I shared with our audience, I'd had three Christmas cards. How about you? How many?
Yeah, I think we put them in a big bowl like you mm-hmm, do, mm-hmm. and I think we've gotten so far four.
Four?
and they're mostly family newsletters from mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. I like Jeff's idea of doing it something simple.
Right.
It's gotten out of control to me,
mm-hmm.
Where it's so much work keeping up all year long on the mailing lists. And we, at one point, we were doing 350 cards a year.
Really?
And my goodness gracious, that's just outrageous.
But even to the law offices, Jeff, you used to get a couple of dozen cards.
We did. We got dozens of them, usually from other law firms and from clients and such. And now we hardly get a few of them.
Yeah.
We used to put them all along the counter in the front reception area, and now we're down to like maybe 5 to 10 at most.
Mm-hmm. And decorating, John, are you doing a big tree?
No, we don't do a tree. We have a big artificial tree, but we do the along the fireplace mantle. We do the creche, and to us, it's primarily a religious holiday. And I've told the kids, don't send me Christmas presents. I send them. Oh, we have a bunch of kids and grandkids. I send them checks, we try to keep it a religious holiday. That's mm-hmm. what it is.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, is Biden done? Biden Harris as a team, are they done? A lot of people are writing them off, but other presidents have come back from
we have closed the unemployment gap faster and bigger than any president ever. We're down to something like just over 4%. Most economists believe that 4% or a little over that is really constitutes full employment. He's created more jobs in 10 months than any other president in history. Three times the jobs that were created by Trump in 2017. The economy is roaring. There are articles today in the New York Times and the Washington Post about just how hot this economy is.
Market's up about 750 points.
I know.
Last check today.
So lots of things are looking good. We do have some challenges. I mean, this coronavirus, the good news is there's a fresh new evidence that no one has died.
No.
And almost no
That's
one. has been hospitalized from this new Omicron variant. So
which
that's
apparently is like a cold.
Somehow it's got some genetic piece of a cold virus in it.
Yeah.
And they think that that's might be why it spreads even more rapidly than the Delta virus, but it's not as severe. I mean, that's some really good news so far. I mean, especially if it is able to evade the vaccines. So, and vaccines, people getting vaccines have jumped dramatically in the past
two or three weeks. People waiting in line to get them.
And that's some very good news. Now, on the other hand, there is some bad news. If you're a Republican, and if you live in a county that voted for Donald Trump, you're three times more likely to die than one that voted for Biden.
Oh,
and
my God.
And that's because 91% of Democrats are vaccinated, but still we're reaching a point where only 59% of Republicans are vaccinated.
I've never heard
such
spin.
They say that the one thing you can ask anyone that will tell you whether they're likely to get vaccinated or not is whether they're a Democrat or Republican. And I think not only that, but let me give you an idea of what some governors are trying to do in red states. They're basically trying to say that if you got fired or quit your job because you wouldn't get vaccinated, they're going to allow you to get unemployment benefits.
Hmm.
Now, having worked for DES real early in my career, I can tell you that you would never, if you didn't do something like that, you would never draw unemployment in Arizona. And right now you wouldn't either unless the legislature and Doug Ducey does something to change that law. But, that's absolutely ridiculous. People just need to face up to it. Unless you've got a physical problem or a firmly held religious belief, you need to get vaccinated and quit putting yourself and other people at risk.
Here we are with the Democrats imposing all of these mandates. Today, de Blasio imposed
every business that
every
operates,
private business
every private business
private not just government he has mandated and blue state governors across the country have mandated.
He says you cannot operate in the city of New York
without a vaccine,
right?
And they impose these mandates, and people, we're a free people, and people don't want to do the mandates. Of course the red state governors are saying we don't agree with these mandates, and their way of responding to that is saying, so if because of one of these authoritarian totalitarian mandates that are unconstitutional, you get fired because you refuse to get a vaccine based upon your own choice, of course we're going to give you unemployment benefits because the mandate shouldn't happen. So you have the Democrats creating a problem with these illegal, unconstitutional mandates. And
they've been upheld by the Supreme Court over 100 years ago.
No, only for states, not for the federal government, Jeff. The federal government has never imposed such a mandate before.
John, you're a little older than me, but you had to have grown up in a period of time where you had to show proof of measles, mumps, rubella, and other vaccines, polio, and other kinds of things.
That was a decision of our school districts.
Right. And people complied or they weren't allowed to go to school.
That was for a kid to go to school. That wasn't for somebody to hold a job. And there's a big difference.
I don't see a difference at all.
I see a huge difference. We've got these mandates. The only thing the red state governors can do is to protest the mandates, is to give unemployment benefits to people who've been fired because of the Democrats' illegal mandates. So, let's get back to Biden.
Okay.
We all know that Kamala Harris is at 28% favorable rating.
Very low rating.
It's 28%.
Very low.
Biden's, there's a new, the newest poll out is Trafalgar poll, which has proven to be very accurate, is at 36.5%. He's in deep trouble. Now, of course, the economy is starting to come back. Why?
Boom.
Why? Because number one, there's three things that are happening. One, we've still got the Trump tax cuts in effect. Those will make the economy boom.
Two,
you have COVID where people were out of work. And, of course, it's no big deal to get people back to work.
Number three
is the labor participation rate under Biden is down by about 2.5%. It's down to 61% now of eligible workers who are actually working. Under Trump, it was around 63-64% before COVID. So what you had, what you have is Biden's celebrating that people are finally going back to work who want to go back to work. And the reason we have a labor shortage is because under all, with all of these welfare plans the Democrats have given, people don't want to work anymore.
Jeff, you have the final
word. So the labor part,
all of those programs have expired.
No, they haven't. There's all
these
kinds of welfare
extended unemployment
programs.
Benefits. All of those kinds of things have expired, and many Republican states didn't allow them to people to get those benefits for the full period of time they were entitled to them.
You're talking about a very limited amount of benefits.
I'm talking about the largest thing that actually one of the few things that Donald Trump did right. It was with Republican and Democratic support were those packages.
John, we got to go. John and Jeff, thank you both very much. And we'll see you the holiday week, 2 weeks from today, as we get ready for Christmas and New Year's. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you. All right.
The Buckmaster Show continues Midway Point, our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe'sGallery.com is the website. Right next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell, and Dodge is their address. Stop by, say hello. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowell and Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. What a busy time of year for everybody, and especially over at Green Things. But the fruits of all of their labors are really showing after growing 25,000 poinsettias. How do you grow 25,000? Well, yeah, plenty of greenhouses, which they have over at their site at 3384 East River Road. And then they keep coming up with these really incredible colors, too. So if you're looking to do some holiday decorating, I strongly suggest a visit to Green Things, open daily at 3384 East River Road. GreenThingsAZ.com is their website. And then Zocalo Village, when you're over there getting your poinsettias, take a look at Zocalo Village. Zocalo Village has some beautiful handcrafted items, a lot of items from Mexico. There's some beautiful furniture that was crafted right here in Tucson, made out of mesquite wood. ZocaloVillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to longtime border reporter, observer, friend of our friends to the south, Mexico, Keith Rosenblum, now with our border report. Keith, how are you?
Good morning, Bill. I'm doing well. Very well, and I continue to be a longtime observer of the border.
Well, you're a longtime observer of the border. You've worked and written about the border for many, many decades. And then you were involved on the congressional end with Congressman Jim Colby. You were an aide to Congressman Colby, his press secretary. And so you've been around the block, as they say.
That's a horrible preface, but yes, I have. I continue to go to, I'm in Tucson today, but tomorrow will be a day spent in Nogales, actually, to receive a guy from Hoshisaki of Mexico. He will leave Mexico City tomorrow morning at 5:30, fly to Hermosillo, go get on a van or shuttle at Hermosillo Airport to be in Nogales by roughly 11 a.m., Keith Rosenblum will meet him. They will then go around the city looking at 10 locations that need ice machines. Hoshisaki is an ice manufacturer. This guy has sold roughly, well, his company has sold in the order of 10,000 ice machines to the beer distributorships. They're called Modeloramas, and those are little, we don't really have them in the U.S. We have in Nogales, there are both little outlets. They're roughly the size of a very small market, like a small convenience mart. And all they sell is beer. So they're like little standalone beer depots, maybe like the equivalent of a place you'd go buy water. Here, little things like that. But they're staffed, and they have an ice machine, and there's 10,000 of them throughout the country. And so this company, which makes ice machines, actually has sold them. And the reason I'm doing that is because one of the companies that I'm working with in Nogales, Mexico, which is Bebidas Refrescantes de Nogales, it's a Coca-Cola bottler, is thinking of putting ice machines in its own little sales outlets they have throughout the city of Nogales. They've got 10, in addition to the plant where they do the bottling, they have 10 little locations throughout the city, again, that are staffed by people, they're very small, where you buy the same Coke, Fanta products that you could buy at the plant itself or buy wholesale at the same price. Kind of an odd calling. But anyway, Keith Rosenblum will be in Nogales tomorrow to receive the guy from Hoshisaki Ice Machines, and they'll run around the city together and look at how logical it would be to install ice machines. And then he's taking along, that is me, taking along a buddy who needs some dental work done, and wow. We'll make a day of it. In the meantime, I know Bill Buckmaster is about to ask me, Keith, have those Mexican tourists return to the U.S.? And will we see more of them in Tucson and more of them in southern Arizona?
You're a mind reader. How did you know that? That's exactly the next question. So,
Among the many of the things I've been observing for a long term, have been your line of questioning, and I know that you're very concerned about the retail and wholesale market
of
southern Arizona. That would be the question that you would ask Keith Rosenblum, longtime border observer.
And the answer from Mr. Keith Rosenblum?
The answer is, don't count on it. That as much as you, I've come through the port now maybe 30 or 40 times over the last 60 days, and I can tell you this, that there's very little weight at all. I haven't looked at the CBP numbers, but I can tell you that, you know, sometimes the eyeball things, you can go to a ball game and say that's not a full house.
Right.
You know, I can tell you that it is not a full house, that Customs and Border Protection were staffed as if when the Mexicans came back, there would be a torrent of people. This was on November 8th. And since that date, yes, there have been, it's kind of refreshing to see Sonora, Sinaloa, you know, Chihuahua license plates in the line. Mm-hmm. But my average wait time has been half to less. So I'm sometimes waiting only 5 or 10 minutes to cross in a vehicle. Mm-hmm. And because of distancing issues and the pedestrian wait, which is normally less, which is normally, you know, itself 10, 15, 20 minutes, depending on the time of day, has been longer. So it's kind of odd. Some things are kind of out of whack. And I believe that CBP finally reopened, although I went online to check earlier. It looks as if they finally reopened the pedestrian-only crossing, which is on Morley Avenue. It's on the east side of the railroad tracks in Nogales. Not many people even know about it. It's the one that would take you, if you were walking from Arizona into Mexico, it's the one that would take you into that neighborhood where La Roca is and where La Cabina used to be. And it's been shut up until now. And the CBP website shows it as being open with no wait. Again, in the past, the waits have been maybe half an hour, 45 minutes, depending on the time of day. So the answer to the question that I posed and that you would have posed is that right now it's anybody's bet. People have learned to compensate over the 20 months that the border was shut. People learned to have, you know, family or other people bring things to them. I met a guy at the Tufesa bus station in Nogales, Mexico, and he does for his own job. He's created it. He crosses Amazon products. Mexico has its own Amazon system, but it's not nearly as thorough, and it's more expensive still than ours by probably 30%. So he crosses things over, goes over to the customs office, which is Hacienda, pays the duties on whatever someone has purchased, and then sends them on the bus anywhere in the country.
Wow.
So, you know, necessity, what is it called? Necessity is the mother of whatever the invention thing is. That's what it is. That's what's happening now. So people have learned, and I don't see the numbers yet, and we're pretty close to the holiday. Maybe it'll increase. But I haven't seen the numbers that from previous years. We'll find out. The Nogales International has done a couple stories, so has Nuevo Dia and Diario de Sonora, and the numbers are still well below what they were in last year and the year prior.
And I know Tucson Mall and the other malls were hoping that there would be kind of an influx, a big influx of the Mexican shoppers, but it sounds like it's been kind of slow to take off, and Tucson really could use that business. Are there any
Bill, I don't think it's been ironed out yet, and that is that our Department of State and therefore CBP, we don't allow everybody, even though we've made vaccines a requirement to come in. I don't know how avidly we're checking, but I do know that at least by air, some of the vaccines that were given in Mexico, which were not the Johnson & Johnson and the, what was the other brand?
Moderna and the Pfizer.
Yeah, and lots of Mexicans received vaccines that were not those. And so we haven't approved them. They received Chinese and Russian and I think Venezuelan or Cuban vaccines, and we don't recognize those.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not – It might also just be an information void. Nobody's going to come from the south and take a 500-mile trip if they're not absolutely sure that they're going to that everything's clear. And our signage, when you come into the U.S., is really poor. We don't tell people. So much is passed on verbally. By the way, I want to use this as a moment just to say that having watched the last couple of weeks, having seen really chilling videos of the TPD officers involved in things in Tucson, and how that allows people to decide, hey, you know, this is a version that we're getting that is incorrect or correct or whatever. Mm-hmm. I want to point out that it's still, there are still no cameras on CBP or Border Patrol agents. That's
really
one of the things that I think would, yeah. I believe that the federal people have been exempted for any number of reasons. And every time I can, as a citizen, I want to make the pitch that they ought also be included in the group of law enforcement officers for everybody's benefit. This is not an anti-law enforcement or an anti-anything statement. It's simply that there's no reason, there's no logistical or compelling reason that federal officers should be distinct from city or county or state.
Yeah, and Keith, I do need to take the break, but I quickly will say before we take the break, that as of today, it was 3 days to get the negative test if you're flying into the United States from Mexico or really any other country in the world. It is now 24 hours that you have to, that requirement has changed. So if you're flying from like Cancun back to the United States or Cabo, you're going to need a test done 24 hours in advance. Not something that is impossible to handle. People will get just the quick test. They'll have to probably pay a little bit more, but that is the new rule as of today.
Actually, you know, I faced that new rule. I faced that rule about also being tested. I was doing it during the 72-hour period. But
yes.
You know what? It was
yes.
Never enforced. It was actually voluntary. You simply said yes. You fill out a little thing in Mexico.
Okay.
And that allowed you then to travel back to the U.S.
Mm. All right. We'll take a break right here. Keith Rosenblum. I've got more for Keith with our border report, our monthly border report, as we continue on a Buckmaster Monday.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. A beautiful day over in Silver City. Temperatures in the mid-60s. Great time to take a road trip and just enjoy a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, about a three-hour drive from the Tucson area. Start your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of ideas about great places to stay and lots of activities like the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. So it's a great outing. We send a lot of our listeners over to that beautiful area of the Southwest. Speaking of the Southwest, it is our monthly border report with Keith Rosenblum. Keith, I forwarded that report over to you. It's titled Restoring America by the publication The Washington Examiner. Did you happen to take a look at that?
You know, the truthful answer is no. I didn't. But there's so many I've seen so many things in that same tenor.
Yes,
Bill, and I don't think that there's any of these restoring border things are just they're designed basically to me, and I've read a number of them by different think tanks. They're designed basically to sell fear. This whole idea of restoring borders, they've never been lost. Make America great again, as if we need to be. These are it's the tactics of rhetoric and the tactics of fear. And if you talk to people who are more in the know than we are, and me included, you talk to people in Nogales, Rio Rico, Tubac, talk to them in Douglas, Wilcox. I had the pleasure of having lunch the other day with Francis Wick from Wick Publication. Talk to people who live along the border, and they're going to look at you quizzically when you say we're going to restore the borders. I mean, these are not things that really, they just don't need to be restored. I would argue that we didn't even really need a lot of the great immigration, even go back to IRCA or to Simpson-Mazzoli. I'm not even sure we really needed them. There were sometimes just issues that didn't need to be solved. They would take care of themselves. But as Americans, we feel the need to have public policy on every single issue. And so therefore, we're going to go ahead and come up with lots of solutions. And I think you and I have talked before about the absurdity of what Department of State created years ago under President Trump, which was a division that would be a Department to handle victims of people who were attacked by undocumented foreigners, something like that, bizarre, of which there might be a couple dozen cases, annually.
Let me at least articulate what the report is about. Migrants from all over the world cross the southern border in record numbers. That's basically what the report is about. The number of people encountered at the southern border from countries other than Mexico or the three top countries of origin in Central America was 7 times greater over the past 12 months ending in September than the previous year. So you've got people from all over the world, pretty much the far corners of the world coming. And I'm just wondering why you think that might be.
I believe that it's a function of a strong economy. And I believe that if you look through history, if you look at Germany and Turkey, if you look at Albania and Greece, if you look at or Italy, and you look at these countries, you're going to always have a movement of people to have a better livelihood, to have better futures for themselves and for their kids. Will do anything to make it here. If they don't come through the Mexican border, and this is perhaps why I was trying to run away from you. Don't worry, they'll do it through the Canadian border. Hey, don't worry, they'll do it through by sea, as these migrants have done. The Haitian, the boat people, or the Cubans before them. Same thing in Europe as people cross from France over across the channel over to Great Britain. So people look for whether those numbers or whether you now have more of a diversity in people who are coming through the Mexican border but are actually not Mexican. They're from El Salvador or Honduras or Africa. I see black faces all the time in Nogales, Mexico that I never saw before. These are Jamaicans and Haitians and Africans as well who have come there. But are we really going to enlist Mexico? Are you going to enlist all these other countries to spend their resources to keep people out of their countries such that they can't make it into our country? The real solution here is to diminish the ratios of incomes so that people, the Reagan line about have a rising tide so that it lifts all boats, and you take away people's need to leave their homelands to come to the U.S. Mexico offers a great refuge for people who are from the poorer economies, and Mexico has a policy of actually welcoming a lot, but people figure, hey, we're already in Mexico, let's go ahead and run for it in the U.S. I don't know what the solution is, unless we want to go to what, East Germany and Germany did, or the Koreas do, which is to have militarized borders.
Yeah, it only makes sense, Keith, what you're saying, because if somebody's doing well financially, are they really going to want to leave and do a treacherous trek? Some of these folks travel months up from southern portions of South America, a very dangerous journey. Are they really going to want to do that if they're doing okay with and doing?
Of course not. And this is the point, that if you look at the ratios, and that's what I was referring to. Mm-hmm. If you live in Mexico today and you earn the equivalent of $20,000, mm-hmm. you won't repeat that in the U.S. unless you're earning about $50,000 or $60,000.
Really?
So if we can bring people up to that 20, and if you live in, the cost of your housing, the cost of your school, the cost of a lot of the basics mean that you are roughly at about a 40% income disadvantage. But you're parallel in terms of what you can acquire, in terms of a house, in terms of education, in terms of those things. In Africa, the difference is less. When I first started going to Mexico, that ratio was not 2.5 to 1. That ratio was more like 10 to 1.
Wow.
And so Mexico has become very prosperous in comparison. And the number of people who daily have an incentive to say, hey, I think I'll go to the United States, has diminished in a huge way. So actually, maybe it's not that foreigners are such greater numbers. Maybe it's Mexicans are a lot less of numbers, and that therefore that number is going to be reflected in the census data of the countries of origin.
And as that gap closes, you would suspect that fewer would want to make the journey.
No one will come. No one will. At that point, when I first started going to Nogales, and also bear in mind that I'm your elder, I crossed at Santa Cruz and Loquillo over, south of Patagonia, when that was still a functioning port of entry. And I've crossed and a lot of those things, that was done at that time with no passports and no papers. You just told the person, hey, I'm an American. They said, well, welcome, bye-bye. There was no accounting for anything. It was rare that someone would say, I don't think you're a U.S., and they would turn them back or say, go bring me something that shows you're a U.S. citizen, that you have a right to be here. But we routinely let people in who were still kind of questionable, but you know what? They needed to shop. We let them in. This was a day before there was this military approach to criminalizing illegal immigration. For a long time, it was just a civil infraction. It's like, get out of here. Go back and come back when you can show us a flash wad, when you have some money.
All right. Keith, we're going to have to run. Happy holidays to you and your family. Enjoy the cookies.
So real quick, I want to tell you one fact. One fact. You know what it costs to fly Hermosillo to Phoenix these days?
What is it?
I don't think there's anywhere in the country. $600, even more.
What?
I don't think there's anywhere in the country where people pay $2 a mile to travel or $3 a mile to travel. So you want to talk about regional inefficiencies? Wow. Start with that.
All right. Keith Rosenblum, have a great holiday, Keith. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Keith and John on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Enjoyed talking with you today. We'll do it again in 23 hours. Have a great day.